Well, praise the Lord. You happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. You know, you've heard it said before, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I just love this church. And you folks have really poured out your love and fellowship to me and my family. And I don't know how the Lord's going to work, and I want to let the Spirit have his way with me tonight. But I want to tell you, I do want to kind of introduce myself to you, because you all know me now as just Joe's dad. you know, I actually have my own name, and there's others with names in our family. So, you know, I won't spend too much time on that. But, you know, my wife and I have spent some wonderful years in the ministry, pastoring a church, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. But I want to wait and tell you, as we get into tonight's message, amen. And, you know, there's been some good preaching. I got to tell you, I'm really, really happy to see. I'm proud of these young men and stuff. We heard from Tyler a couple weeks ago, and with Donnie and Aaron, and I mean, the worship team, the young folks that love the Lord, amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see another day of Pentecost, amen. This could be your hour, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's my message tonight. It's by my Spirit. So if you will, please turn in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4. Hallelujah. Zechariah is the second to the last book at the end of the Old Testament. So if you want to go Matthew back up to, you're there. Some of those are kind of hard to find, some of the minor prophets in there. Amen. We're going to read the entire chapter, Zechariah chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof." So I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, Lord?" Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Knowest not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." Then answered I and said unto him, "What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof?" And I answered again and said unto him, "What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves?" And he answered me and said, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then said he, "These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to come into your house and to worship you, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, for truly our lives are not by might, not by power, but by thy Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, that you'll fill us to overflowing with your Spirit, Lord. Lord, that continual filling every single day of our lives, that, Lord Jesus, we might be burning lamps to a dark and dying world. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, Let us have ears to hear your word, God, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to keep this in mind as we go through this. The name that Zechariah, the name Zechariah means the Lord remembers. I want to tell you, any promise the Lord has made, he remembers the promise he made, and he'll see that he'll go through the way he said it's going to go through. I was thinking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples before he left, he said, I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll not leave you comfortless. But when I leave, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will be with you forever. And it happened just like he said on the day of Pentecost. Amen. The Lord remembers his promises. I want to encourage you with that today. But so we see here in this passage of Zechariah, it was 598 B.C., and due to Israel's sins, God was angry with the fathers of these children that the Lord's speaking to now. And you read the story that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, and the temple was destroyed. It was reduced to rubble, and the Israelites in that day were either killed or taken captive into Babylon for 70 years. And that's what the Lord told Jeremiah, that this captivity would be for 70 years. That's what Jeremiah prophesied. And then 538 B.C., that prophecy was fulfilled. And the Lord said, for thus saith the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill you to my promise and bring you back into this place. Can you imagine what happened to the people of God? The joy of the decree to go back home with the approval of their Persian king. Go on home. I want you to go back there to Jerusalem. I want you to build homes and I want you to rebuild that temple. The joy that came on them to rebuild the temple of the Lord, some 40,000 plus returned. They built houses. They started off for sacrifice, and they began to build the temple. And the work began with great zeal and praise to God. Hallelujah. The church was on fire like never before. But then, after a few months, difficulty set in. The Samaritans opposed it. You read the story about Sanballat and Tobiah. The king of Persia no longer supported it. The zeal of the people started to fade. And the people concluded that this is not of the Lord. And the work kind of just stopped. The children of God went back to their homes. They went back to their farms, back to the ho-hum life of formalism and materialism. We've heard that a few times this week, haven't we, from the other preachers, from the pastor on Sunday. Reminds me about the Apostle Peter comes to my mind when, you know, after Jesus' resurrection, here he's seen it as his disciples. He's seen them over 500 people over a 40-day period. And Jesus tells them, you know, wait in Jerusalem. You're going to receive the promise. You know, I've got to work for you. You're going to be fishers of men. And Peter says, well, he's gone. I think I'll go fishing. And then the disciple says, we'll go too. I guess that's it. This is over. The revival's done. Let's just go back to the ho-hum life. And then Jesus visited him again, didn't he? He was baking them some food on the Sea of Galilee. He said, you catch anything, boys? Nothing. Going back to a nothing life. Going just through the normal routine. Get up. Go brush my teeth. Eat some breakfast. Go to work. Come home. Go to sleep. Get up. Have some breakfast. The same routine day after day. Just making a living. And then we hear one of the greatest discourses ever. Jesus said, Peter, feed my sheep. You know the story. Has that happened to you? We've all had dreams and visions that are broken or shattered. feel like, you know, you go to revival and you experience that glory, the mighty presence of Almighty God working through His Spirit. You know, you receive a touch from God, you receive a word. I mean, you're ready to do His will, you have zeal, you're ready to walk out and just take on the world and win everyone for Christ. And then the difficulties, the obstacles, the hindrances. The devil's right there waiting to just start throwing some stuff in your pathway. That you decide, and the devil tells you, and you even say it sometimes, I like, this must not have been the Lord. That's what you conclude. It happens, folks. That's what life is. I mean, there's disappointment, but here's what happens with disappointment. Disappointment leads to discouragement. And then discouragement leads to complacency. It happens. I'll just go back to earning a living, and I'll attend church on Sunday. I'll help out where I can. I have to tell you, and I'll talk a little bit about my family, and I'll introduce myself to you. You know, I met my wife, Deanna, and we were high school sweethearts. She led me to the Lord Jesus. I think she was saved from her mother's milk. And, you know, hey, we know John the Baptist leaped in the womb. Hey, his wonders to perform. But, you know, I think it wasn't until I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that my walk really started to get in line, to have that daily presence there, understanding all that. But, you know, through the years, worked in business and in different employment, and then we got into the ministry. I served as, did a little bit with the youth and mostly associate pastor. I'll just do about anything the pastor asks me to do, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then, we pastored a church for some 15 years. Some of it was part-time, and then probably 11, 12 years. I'm not really good at the narrowing it down to the exact month or day. But we had a wonderful time in ministry. Wonderful time watching the Spirit of the Lord work. That's the school I went to. You know, I got my credentials through the Assemblies of God, but I never went to Bible college. I did it through correspondence. I mean, I learned some of the books. It's like, where's this? You know, I wouldn't read it twice, I'll tell you that. We went to the Church of the Holy Spirit. That's how we learn church. We learn church by the Word of God and through prayer and through the suffering and through learning. Through it all, I learned to trust Jesus. And we had a wonderful time. We went back to the church that we had attended for some time, and it was dying. It was dead. And unfortunately, the reason is that pastor actually would quench the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit would start to move in the service, he'd, you know, cut him off with a joke or something. So we went back, and the Lord blessed the church, and, you know, we had revival. The church grew and outgrew the church, and the Lord did some wonderful things. And I don't think it was me that brought up, hey, let's build a new church. It came from the zeal of the people. I said, well, hey, all right, if the Lord's in this thing, let's do it. So found 7 acres of land, paid cash for it. Everybody's excited. Gravel driveway, gravel parking lot, built a garage. I don't know why we did that first, but I'm not a builder, so I think, you know, put stuff in, I guess. Yeah, I wasn't the builder. I'm not like your pastor. Don't, you know. So everything was going great. And something happened. There were some folks in the church that didn't want to see the work of God go forward. And, I had my own opposition. It was, right in the church, there was the Sanballat and Tobiah right there. There was a third, actually. You know, they worked in darkness. They deceived some of the people in the church. The church split. And you say, you know, I know this was of the Lord. But you just sit there. You know, let me tell you something. And I know your pastor loves you, and I love our flock. Things like that happen. The pastor doesn't look for revenge. I know for me, I just fell on my face before God. Lord, what's going on here? I just kind of got sideslapped on the whole thing. Well, I have to tell you, my district superintendent had visited, and he was a real encouragement to me. We drove over to the new church site in his van. Got halfway down the driveway, and he stopped the van, put it in park, and he started sharing with me. He gave it a term, what I was going through, and he called it the death of a vision. Just a temporary thing. You know, the good news is, folks, that after all, it probably was the best thing that could have ever happened. Because the church was built to the glory of God. The people there were all together, all in one faith, one accord. The Lord moved mightily, built on that. And the church is still there today. Amen. So we praise God for that, but we've all been there, haven't we? That we wonder, you know, is this of the Lord? My wife told me, you know, she remembers that the superintendent came to another meeting in our church after all that happened and said, I can't wait to dedicate this butterfly. Amen. Remember, Zechariah means the Lord remembers. He remembered his promise, and there's a set time for it. All right? To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to draw just 3 points tonight from Zechariah chapter 4. I want to share a little bit with you about the vision of the candlestick, talk about leveling mountains and the grace of God. And it's really in that 6th and 7th verse. I love this vision of the candlestick, and I'm going to read this to you again. It's verses 1 through 3 and 11. It says, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of a sleep and said unto me, what seest thou? And I looked and beheld a candlestick all of gold and a bowl on top of it and his 7 lamps thereon and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which were on the top thereof and 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. And what are the olive trees on the right side and on the left side of the candlestick? And what be these 2 olive branches which through the 2 golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? The prophet answered, spake to the angel that talked with him and said, what are these, my Lord? And you'll find out in the continuation of this chapter that the angel explains the vision. But here's what I find in that, folks. It's okay to ask God questions. If you don't understand, ask him. Just like when your children, when they're in church or in school and they learn something, they come home, they ask their mom and dad, what are these? What does this mean? It's okay. Here's Zechariah, the prophet. He don't understand. He asks for understanding, and the Lord gives it to him. I love this candlestick, and you know what it is. I mean, today in modern day, it's a menorah. You know, the 7 pipes, the oil lamps. Can you see this candlestick with 7 branches? This candlestick that he's talking about, and I got to tell you, I love these being able to get on your phone and Google things. And you can look at images. And, you know, just type that in sometime. Just type in Zechariah and the lamps, the golden candlestick, and just see some of the images in the artist's mind, what it looked like. I got excited when I looked at some of those. Because here's what it was. This candlestick had seven pipes, seven lamps, seven spirits of God, perfection, seven eyes of God. And on the top of the lampstand was a bowl. And from the bowl, there are pipes connected to each of these seven lamps. And then connected to the bowl on the left and the right were other golden pipes or conduits that were connected to the branches of two olive trees. Those olive trees, those olives, that oil represents the Holy Spirit. That constant drip of the Holy Spirit into that bowl, providing the fuel for those burning lamps. You don't think we need the Holy Spirit to be filled with Him, His oil in our life, to be shining for Him in this world? Not by might, not by power. You think you're strong? You learn pretty quick. Let me tell you, you're not. Best posture to be in Jesus Christ for His power and working in your life, it's surrender. It's, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and fill this thirsting in my soul. Every day, all the time. You learn pretty quick that you can't do it in your flesh. So the oil is dripping out of these pipes to the bowl and the bowl to the candlesticks. And the prophet asked, what are these, Lord? Well, you know, any Israelite would know that this had a lot to do with the temple and the tabernacle. That's how it was, that lamp that priests served 24 hours a day, night and day, day and night, making sure those lamps never went out to keep that holy place lit in that tabernacle. There were no windows, but it was to show forth the beauty and grace of God. Shine, Jesus. Shine in me. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine in me, Lord, that those who want to come out of darkness, they want to come into the light. Moses even gave instructions for the tabernacle. And then when you made these lamps, they were bowls at the top, and they're buds. The bowls were like almonds and buds and flowers. There was a shape. The candlestick looked like a tree. So when you get a chance, Google that. Some good pictures out there. So that's the old. But that candlestick, that light, represents the light of life. God's people are filled with the light of life. I wonder if you know your candlestick tonight. A golden candlestick. And there's no wax candle that you light. It's just a wick and the oil supplies. And that oil is constant, constant, constant. I like the symbol of those olive trees. They're big and thick and rich, and they just keep the oil coming. You can get filled, filled, filled. You can have as much as you want. The Lord wants to pour it out on you every day. He does. I don't know if we really realize we're golden candlesticks. We're lights. We're not of this world. We're pilgrims. We're looking for a city whose architect and builder is God. We're here to bring the people in from the darkness into the light as God wills it. That's it. That's our purpose. In Revelation 1 and 12, 13, in John's vision, he talks about the mystery of the seven golden candlesticks. He says, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Whew. Beloved, the church is where the light shines. I like what you shared the other night, Pastor, about this other man having these meetings or these prayer meetings, people coming in and getting saved. And you said, boy, wouldn't it be awful if somebody come in the church and there was no light there? Let your light shine. This world, beloved, is darkness. It is darkness. It is sin. It is ignorance. People are separated from God. They're dead in their sins. And you and I were such. But one of those lamps God put in our life. Amen? Yes. Maybe it was one-on-one. Maybe it was a preacher from behind a pulpit. But it was a light. Ephesians 5 and 8 tells us that for you were sometimes darkness. It doesn't say you were sometimes in darkness or you were around the darkness. You were darkness. Think about that. All darkness. But now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Woo! Walk as children of the light. Woo! He said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. And you won't run away from those who are demon possessed and those who need a touch and a healing. You'll say, in the name of Jesus, come out. Come into the light. Ephesians tells us that those who are in darkness, they're just dead men. I want you to think about that for a minute. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you he hath quickened, he raised you to life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Folks in the darkness, right, they're dead. They're dead and bound for hell. That's it. And you were too. But when you came into light, God quickened you. He raised you from the dead already. Woo! He raised you from the dead. Matthew 5:16. You know, do you know what zombies are? I never thought I'd ever say this from a pulpit. I said, Lord, I'll never get a chance to say that from a pulpit. They'll throw me out. Because I think I read somewhere like 30% of the people believe zombies really exist. They even got TV shows on that are zombie shows. Well, and they even have they're not functions, but they have like things where they all get together and dress up like them in the big cities and stuff, like Milwaukee. No, okay. Well, I guess what a zombie is a dead person, right? A dead person walking. Are they not dead? I think this is about a year ago. We had the grandkids. Grandsons, and I shouldn't tell this. It's already out now, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. All right, so we must have been in Walmart. And the kids are in the, you know, they're just being boys and stuff, and we're going through the aisles, and all of a sudden I hear, I don't know if they had the guns, laser guns or toys or whatever, they're just making up, they're going, doo, 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 doo. And they go, zombie, doo, 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 doo. I'm like, what's going on? Kind of quieted that down. I don't know where he got that because your mom and dad don't let him watch TV. Praise God. Amen. But they're dead, folks. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Remember Jesus' priestly prayer in John 17? He said, Lord, I have glorified thee Now glorify your Son. Amen. Let me tell you, you want to do a work for the Lord? Make sure he gets the glory. He doesn't share his glory with men. I read something of Charles Spurgeon, and he puts it like this. He says, when there was only the Ancient of Days, before creation, when God just lived in sublime solitude, before he created a thing, the one object of God's creation was, will it bring me glory? Do all to the glory of God. You give him the credit. And I know you know that. I know this isn't anything new for this church. But anyway, beloved, the purpose of the church is to be the light of life to a dark world. John 1, 4, and 5 says, in him, in Christ Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The life shineth in the darkness. Ephesians 5, 8, I shared that. For sometimes you were sometimes darkness, but now you're the light of the Lord. Walk in the light. Jesus said in 5:14, Matthew, he says, you're the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, a candlestick, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine. No one's going to have to ask you when you're the one in the room, who's a Christian here? Because you're going to be the light. You are. And those who are searching for Christ and they're searching for more than the whole, they are going to be drawn to the light. And drawn in love. Let it love. Let love be there. Be that place that is warm and a person can come to you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race. Go ahead, you can get like Proud Rooster if you want to for a minute. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a living stones, a spiritual house, offering up sacrifices to God, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous. Oh, yeah. Ephesians 1 and 4 says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless and live before him in love. Do we really know what it means to be a candlestick? It's what you are. And you, one day you'll be known as you are known. Might as well get a head start today. So how can I be filled with the light of life? Not just tonight, but tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, for the rest of my life. It's not by might. It's not by human army. It's not by power. I'm a superhero. Look how strong I am. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Just being full of the Spirit of God. For those of you that know what I'm saying here tonight, there's just such a wondrous mystery about the Holy Spirit. How he can just minister to us sort of quietly, but powerfully. Some of my favorite times, I'm an early morning riser. Usually it's when I leave here at night, it's past my bedtime. But I'm up at 4. And one of my favorite parts of the day is my early morning devotional. And, you know, with these cell phones, I can even read the Bible from my Bible app on my cell phone. I'm sounding like an old guy, ain't I, up here? I'm not that old, really. So I just get real quiet on the couch. And I'll just Well, I don't know if I'll just do a devotion. I'll just break open the word, wander around, read, and I just get quiet. Whew. Here he comes. Oh, he'll meet you in the morning. He'll meet you in the noontime, and he'll meet you when the sun goes down. He'll meet you and feel you so much that you'll just want to feel, I need to go feel normal somewhere. That old, you know, he'll feel you. He'll feel you every day. It's not that difficult. He wants to. Jesus wants to. I mean, who would you rather have? Who would you rather have in your life every day? Boy, some people say, you know, if Jesus was here, boy, I could just live the life. Well, you do have Jesus. You do have him. You have his blood. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. Rejoice in it. Don't despise the small things. Be happy that you're saved tonight. Be happy that you've been set free. Be happy that the merits of the blood of Jesus covers you and your family and everything that you've entrusted to him. We're just pilgrims passing through here. Amen. We're looking for a city where the Lamb is the light. There is no darkness there. There's no darkness, Pastor. There's no death there. The Lamb is the light. None. But right now here, we have to be the light. He's not done yet. If he was done, we'd be gone. All right. You know, a church without the Holy Spirit is just dark, cold, and dead. Pastor says it all the time. He's right. Amen. Good pastor, precious. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no end to the supply of oil. He'll keep you full and shining if you let him. So that's the candlestick. We're the light of life to a dark world. Secondly, I want to talk about the mountains a little bit here, the opposition. Ever have any opposition in this walk? Any obstacles or hindrances? Sure. There's obstacles out there in resistance to the light, to the glory of God. It's the world, the flesh, the devil. Amen? What is it that comes between me and God? What is this obstacle? What is this mountain? What is this thing that gets in the way of me just living and knowing that God remembers and he's going to see me through? You're going to have tribulation. It was shared last night. It's a part of it. But what does the Bible say? Remember that old song? Is there a mountain in your path? Do doubts and fears abound? Press on, oh, hear the Spirit say, this mountain shall come down. Go ahead, sing it. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I hope when you leave here tonight, you'll just be saying, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. I want to just sear it in you. Sear that word in you. So what's the mountain that comes between me and God? What is it that's blocking the light? Is it fear? Is it doubt? What's going on? Is it the flesh? Is it the enemy attacking my life? You know, the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. Thought, life, imaginations. I mean, come on. These things happen, don't they? They're just obstacles. And you know what I love about this verse here? The Lord doesn't minimize it. He's making it real. He says, there's a great mountain. It's there. He doesn't minimize the fact that there's mountains and obstacles, but he said he'd go through it with you. He said, I'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. I'll put streams in a desert. I'll tell the waves of the ocean, hitherto go no further. You can go to this bank and that's it. And it obeys the word of the Lord. The Lord calls it a great mountain. Doubt, unbelief, complacency. Our need is so great. We need God and God alone. That's what we are, lights. Here's the good news. The Lord says, who art thou, great mountain? In other words, who do you think you are before me? I am the God of almighty power. By the word of his power, by the hosts of heaven, he speaks and everything does what it's supposed to do. It says in creation that the earth was formed and dark without void, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered. And what did God say? Let there be light. And it just stayed dark for a couple. No. It became light. Remember what Zechariah says? The Lord remembers. The Lord remembers. He remembers the promises to you. To us, they're great. He speaks and they do what they're supposed to do. When he touches the mountain, it smokes and trembles and melts like wax. He said, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And it happened. You don't think there was a mountain there? I mean, the work was shut down. And the Lord spoke, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Zechariah and said, Zerubbabel started, and he's going to finish it. Well, they built the temple, didn't they? And Haggai said, not only when they're going to build it, but I'm going to fill it again with my glory, and that glory is going to be better than it was the first time. You hearing that, young folks, the next generation? Amen. He makes a way where there is no way. Not by might, not by power. Amen. All right. We got a bunch of preachers going on here now, Pastor. So who can be saved? I know we all have loved ones and friends, people in trouble. Seems impossible, doesn't it? How can I reach these folks for Christ? But Jesus said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Somebody shared this over the last few days, and it was in Matthew 17. Remember, the father brought his demon-possessed son to the disciples. He threw himself into the demons, were throwing him into the fire, throwing him in the water, trying to drown him. This father was desperate for his son's life. Brought him to the disciples. The disciples couldn't cast out the demon. So when Jesus came, he cast out the demon, you know, and then later on the disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? I think Donnie shared this, talking about faith is because of your unbelief. He said, if you have the grain of a, if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it will be. Now, he's not telling us to go out there and start, you know, moving all the mountains around Wisconsin. But the obstacles, the hindrances. Believe. Believe God's word. He'll level those mountains. He carried our griefs. He bore our sorrows so that the light of life, the flow of the Spirit would not be blocked. Oh, hallelujah. You know, he's for you, not against you. The devil's against you. The devil comes to steal and kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I come that you'll have life and that you have it abundantly. Don't run from God. Run to him. He wants to remove those obstacles. Day by day by day. Grace upon grace upon grace. He'll remove them because no obstacle can stand in his way. And lastly, let's talk a little bit about grace here. And it says in verse 7, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. This rebuilding of that temple, it was all the grace of God. He did it. It wasn't by might or by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. It wasn't the king of Persia. It wasn't the zeal of the people. It was the Lord. Grace. Don't you love that word? Amazing grace. Why is the church here today? Why is this remnant still here? Pure grace of God. When other churches have apostatized or just folded up, there's a remnant. There's a people of God that haven't bowed a knee to Baal. Why is the Holy Spirit still working among us? Grace. Do not despise the day of small things, one day at a time. Take up thy cross daily. I'm speaking that to myself. I get ahead of myself big time. It's one day at a time. Grace is undeserved. It's ill-deserved. It's unmerited favor in the love of God. John 1:16 says, in his fullness we've received from in grace to grace, one grace after another. For God so loved. Grace. It's all for us. Beloved, as we close tonight, that's what I come to church for. I come to church for grace, and I want to be filled with the light of life. And actually, you know, you bring it too. You bring it. You know, sometimes Christians, well, I hope I get something. I'm just going to go there and see something happen. Whoa, why don't you bring it? Why don't you be that burning fire for the Lord? Here's my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Love that song. Grace is what I can't live without, to deliver me from all my sin. I don't run from him, I run to him. And it takes time to learn all that sometimes. You know, because we're hard on ourselves. He wants you to run to him. He wants to just keep you filled. It's not about might. It's not about how strong you are and what I'm going to do. It's not a do thing. The Holy Spirit's not a do thing. It's a be thing. Just you're filled with him. The other stuff, it can't come in. Let your light shine. Be full of light. And the Holy Spirit will do. Amen. So, beloved, there's one more item here, and that is God is building his spiritual temple, and he's not done. I'm ready to go to heaven. I don't know about you. I mean, I'm looking for that trump to sound. I mean, whoa. You know, President Trump starts building that temple over there in Jerusalem. You know, hey, we're on borrowed time. He's going to build a wall and probably go build a temple. Call it Trump. But we should be gone by then, you know. But he's still building a spiritual temple. He's not done. Not until that last, just like Zerubbabel. Not until they let that last cornerstone in there. That last, what's the stone on top, Pastor? From the capstone. That last, it's not done. But the Lord has a number. He knows who he's going to save. When that's done, we're going home. We're going home. But until then, we got to shine. We got to shine for Jesus and finish it till the last stone is in place, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Can we stand, please? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother, can we sing that song, Here's My Cup? Are you familiar with it?
Mm-mm.
All right, well, you know a bunch of them. They're all good. Hallelujah.